Back in here. Now, stay for just a little bit, Keith. We'll be
from
right
the
back.
Studios on, of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Interfered, declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, Keith Knight, we were yakking with Etienne de la Bouteille Squared, okay? And Howard being in Cottonwood, oh, I'm not supposed to say that, Mr. H., Etienne, but whatever, you know, get off my butt, man. You know, it's hard. I didn't know you guys get secret name, whatever the hell. Anyway, you know, Keith, he's here in Arizona, and we're trying to convince him to go to Jackalope. We'll get him to speak and, you know, whatever, give him what for. And I don't know if it's, oh, but the camping thing, it's like dirt and stuff. But, you know, so we'll see what happens there. Etienne, you've been to Jackalope before, haven't you? Have you gone?
I have. I was there last year, and I was just, you know, I think the most important thing is that it tripled from around 200 people to 600 in the middle of a global pandemic.
Spent because year. Of the global
and, you know,
pandemic.
We were just talking about. Yeah, we were just talking about that, you know, we think voluntarism is the fastest growing political movement on the planet. These
don't
events
care.
Are popping up. You know, there's new events popping up. There's and the ones that exist, they're tripling in size in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, see, I don't, you know, they go, oh, I'm part of the new club if it's big and kind of got a lot of subscribers and you're canceled, you know. So I don't really, size was not a thing with me. It was accuracy, truth, you know, being correct in my assertion that I get to be left alone. I vote that, you know. I got to vote, okay, I vote that I don't have to vote. I mean, you know what? So this, it's growing. There is a lot of influence. There is a lot of participation. It's really starting to happen, you know, a lot. Like when we started doing the tour, like, you picked the wrong worst time to go. Like, did I? I mean, you know, this is like the best time to be out and just kind of feeling what's going on in rural America. And the bus, when we go to different places, we're not going to the large cities. We kind of avoid that. You know, we're, you know, on the outskirts, maybe some little community or town or some local county guy bugging somebody and we're there to help. And I'm really concerned about where this goes, because this power, this energy, this understanding, this rationalization of individual freedom and so on, I'm looking for it to manifest itself in different places. Now, the Free State Project in New Hampshire would scream, you know, well, get your butt up here to New Hampshire, which you have gone. You spent time there. You're doing, you know, you support that.
Absolutely.
But now, and I'm sure you'll probably keep spending time there. But now you're in Arizona. I'm going, okay, Bob, why? Weather? I mean, you know, that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, I'm just, you know, what do you think it's going to take for us to come together and protect each other without having to protect the stupidity of somebody being stupid and that, you know, reflect on all of us? Or if they're not being stupid and the government's being stupid, how much obligation we got to, you know, throwing ourselves in front of the tank for them? You know, so I'm just wondering how this is going to manifest itself in support of freedom as a philosophy, a group, or even a collective. You know, what are we talking about here? Why Arizona? Go.
Well, the reason for Arizona is I fell in love. And so Etienne de la Boisie Squared is now engaged. And
congratulations.
Lives in Arizona. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Is it someone that I've met?
My sweetheart lives in Arizona.
Is it someone that I've met?
It is. It is.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's the same person here. All right. Yeah, you never know.
So that was the impetus, and part of it was the weather. And so I'm a member of the Free State Project, and I do, you know, my goal is still to help free New Hampshire by widely exposing the illegitimacy and the criminality of government. But I've always said that I'm going to snowbird it, and I'm going to, you know, spend the winter months in a more favorable climate. And so, so that's kind of my goal. And the second state, you know, out of the three states that I think we could free the easiest, there's like four states I think that are prime to be the first states to go. And it's Wyoming, New Hampshire, Idaho, and Arizona. Arizona's the biggest. It's got over 7 million people, which makes it larger than someplace like Wyoming with 600,000 people or New Hampshire with 1.3 million people. But, you know, Arizona's got a fantastic – it's got a good climate. It's got a, you know, kind of a history of liberty like the population here. Nobody's going along with this mask stuff in Cottonwood where I live. You know, I mean, there are some people wearing masks and everything, but – you know, 90% of restaurants, except the, you know, the major chains, you know, are letting you shop without the mask. And even the major chains, they're looking, you know, the other way.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of cases. I mean, there are some that are mask Nazis, but there's, you know, there's a climate of freedom here. I do want to point out that, you know, speaking of the Free State Project and speaking of what we're just talking about, Porcupine Freedom Festival coming up in June. That was 1,200 people last year. This year, they're expecting 2,000 plus. So these, you know, like I said, I think the Liberty Movement is the fastest growing, you know, political movement on the planet. And it's been a beach ball that they've been trying to hold underwater. And now people are starting to figure out how cool it is. And
they're trying to hold that beach ball underwater. That's awesome. That's a good description. Yeah. You know, the I've seen it. You know, from a different perspective. I mean, of course, you know, circumstances and you know, happen. And I've always been an advocate that goes, those circumstances always happen. You just got to be ready. You got to be, you know, principled. You got to have, you know, good credibility. The future is all about credibility, who you believe. And be ready for it, because when the flood comes, it'll be a coming and nothing you can do to stop it anyway. Well, last year, it almost didn't happen. Now, Crosby, that owns Rogers Campground, he's like, hey, man, it cost me a couple $100,000 to open this thing. If I can't make my money back or do it, why even do it? You know, I'm not, I don't need the money. You know, I'm good. And and I'm sure as hell not willing to waste it. So then when the Free State Project or a lot of the volunteerists and the people in New Hampshire, look, we'll help you. We'll pre-sell. We get, you know, let's do it. And he was willing to work with them. All right, fine. And then Fork Fest, you know, between Pork Fest and Fork Fest, which is kind of a decentralized jackaloped Pork Fest kind of thing, you know, it was worth opening. All right, cool. We'll open. And then, you know, he made out okay, probably a lot better than a lot of his competitors. So this, what happened, I saw it going back. The atmosphere of Pork Fest last year was going back to the early days when it was kind of a jackalope, you know, do your own thing, and we're not going to get in your way. Well, it was very successful. So this year they're going, oh, we want to keep that flavor, but a little bit, a couple of dials that we're going to turn, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll see how that goes. But it's going to get like the old days where it was a lot of people. The people in the campground were the event. You know, you get a sponsor from Coke Industries and get some Heritage guy or Bill Weld to get up there and be a sponsor. I don't give a crap what they say. I'd rather be at the, you know, the fires and in the crowd if we're having fun over here. So I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. Then Fork Fest happened. Well, this was the same thing. The reason why we did Jackalope is to demonstrate the decentralized, nobody's in charge, everybody is kind of thing. So this is good to see. And I think what you're talking about it exploding is, you know, it's time, but I do not want to see it explode into an exploitation of a bunch of freedom-loving individuals that we're just going to get money from and we're going to make some cash this year, as opposed to a movement of just leaving people alone and doing their own thing, which I know that the end of the multi-square is in support of. When we come back, we're going to get it drilled down into what he plans to do here in Arizona, and how. And maybe we can help, because we want to. We'll be right back.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And at the end of the multi square. Now, he has a site. Webpage is government-scam.com. Government-scam.com. And, you know, there he's selling his book, Understanding Your Slavery, which has gone through a lot of iterations. When you first did that,
we've renamed.
Oh,
so
really?
Now Government, the Biggest Scam in History. Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed. I'm now in the fourth edition, probably, I want to say, the 20th printing. You know, they're not big runs. They're runs of 150 to 300 copies a pop, you know, but we're now in the fourth edition, and it's selling like hotcakes. I mean, I can't keep them in stock. It's been unbelievable for the past
few months. Awesome. Awesome. Why do you think? Because you changed the name? Because you changed the cover?
No, I got the Corbett bump. It's all about the Corbett bump. So I did a fantastic interview with James called How to Present Info for Visual Learners. And all of a sudden I started getting, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, orders were coming in every second for the first couple of days. And then, people have discovered the book, discovered me. And so now I've been getting, podcast interviews. I've been getting, it's been amazing. And so I think we probably sold, almost $50,000 worth of books in the past couple of weeks. Not just my book.
Couple of weeks? Holy crap. Book. I saw that interview.
So, two months. Yeah.
Damn. I saw the interview and it was awesome. Of course, James, you get the Corbett bump. And his big thing was graphics, that you're showing people. It's kind of a book of memes, so it's and I remember the story was you were divorced. You have children. You're having less influence on what they read and learn and do, and you had to package your philosophy in such a way in a book that, they would be exposed to these ideas and that. And then, of course, it's like, everybody needed the book and every kid and every, all of a sudden, boom, it's a thing. But your motivation was really closer to home. You wanted to have some influence on your raising of your children.
My kids was part of it, but part of it was, in my day job, I teach Fortune 500 companies, how to learn at the speed of light. And how do you wake somebody up? How do you take them from zero to 60? And 65% of people are visual learners. And yet we've got the funniest memes in Liberty, but the main things and the most impactful things is we've got visualizations. We've got media ownership charts, and we've got organizational charts that show how they've been monopolizing the media You know, in the old school media, it's about six companies running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everybody the illusion that there's all these different information sources in society, even though they all just roll up to these six companies that are operating as a cartel. And you can try and tell your friends and family that this is going on, and they may or may not believe you. But if you show them a media ownership chart, you know, most people are visual learners and they're like, oh my God, I did not understand that this was going on. Or you show them an organizational chart showing how the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, and the Trilateral Commission have maneuvered their members into all of the key publisherships, editorships, reporterships. Like, you know, when, you know, the average person just can't wrap their mind around how could they all be in on it on COVID? Why would everybody be? You're saying everybody in the media is lying to us about COVID or about 9/11 or about, you know, whatever it is. And they can't wrap their mind around it until you show them an organizational chart where they go, oh, I did not know this is going on. And so what I'm doing, the main thing I'm doing, is I'm making visible something that was invisible through visualization, and then people can understand it. And then, boom, they come to that moment of insight because they can see it. And the other piece of it is, you know, you can give your – You might throw, you know, the book Tragedy and Hope at your, you know, friends and relatives, and chances are maybe, you know, less than 10%.
They'll find those two pages that, you know, did it for them. Yeah.
You got it. But you throw them Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed. And once they crack it open and they see the memes and the visualizations and everything, like, they're just hooked. I've had people literally sit down. I've been exhibiting at a conference or someplace, and I've had people just sit down next to my booth, Indian style, and just sit there and read the book for 20 minutes. I mean, and that happens a lot. And so it's that compelling. They're like, what is going on here? I have to figure out what
did you use the same format, the same size of the book, you know, the way, you know, that you've had the wide format and you keep that. Yeah, I like that. You know, I think it adds to the visualization of it. You know, no, I highly recommend it. You know, I've seen from the beginning, you know, the iterations of it and, you know, whatever crafting you did to, you know, increase participation. But it's a powerful enough tool that, you know, you think everybody gets one in Cottonwood. I mean, you know, how blending are you there? Are you that, you know, I see this guy at the Circle K every now and then, or it's like, oh my God, he's on every corner with a sign and pimping his book. I mean, you know, how are you integrating into Cottonwood? Tell me about it.
So I love Cottonwood. I love Sedona. It's been fantastic. We've met so many amazing people here, and I have started doing events. So I've been speaking, and we've had, you know, events where I've been a speaker and I've taken people through the book. And we're plugged into the local liberty community here. And, you know, I've met people from the Patriot Party. I've met people from, you know, Arizona Stands United. I've met people from, you know, everything. And they all seem to be big, you know, big fans of the book. And so they're, you know, like, the book has been selling well in Arizona. And I probably between the highest concentration of the books is there's a ton of them in Santa Cruz, California. There's a ton of them in Arizona. There's a ton of them in New Hampshire. Those are my big, that's where, like, it seems to be, you know, dense. And I get, you know, kind of additional orders from those places as they're, you know, as it's like slowly circulating to friends and neighbors and things like that. I have people buying five. We through a donor to the Art of Liberty Foundation, through the generosity of a donor to the Art of Liberty Foundation, we have bulk copies at, you know, where we kept the price, you know, down to as low as like $9 a copy. And I'm selling fives and tens. You know, I probably sold almost 2,000 books in the past 2 months.
Well, this is it's a tool for a lot of people, and it's done in such a way that you put it in the bathroom. You know, it's one of those, you know, sit down, got 10 minutes at a time, whipping through, and you're done in a couple of days, and I get it. You know, it's a coffee table kind of thing. You know, what's the cover like now? You gotten kind of, you know, a little bit, I can put it out in the living room, or, I mean, you know, what's on it?
Hold on a second. Tamara, would you grab a copy of the book? I'll show it to you in a second. Hey, but it's not just that. I've got people that are putting them in Airbnbs.
There you go.
I've got a lot of friends that run Airbnbs, and then they put it on the coffee table of their Airbnb.
Well, that's what we did. You know, at our home in the
retired police officer
in North Phoenix. That's what we did. We had people come stay with us. You know, the room. I think you stayed there before. You go back. Back in the back room, we have a coffee table. And we have a bunch of different just stuff of interest that somewhere to store it, and we put them there along with your book, and they're flipping through. When we come back, we'll get a look at the cover here real quick. All right, there it is. So it's the same, it's the pledge of, Sieg Heil allegiance to the flag cover. We'll be.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And at the end of the boat, I eat squared. All right. Government-scam.com. And he's just doing well. He got the Corbett bump, and boom, man, he'd be selling him some books. And it's a very effective book at, describing what's going on. And I'm very happy to help promote it here in Arizona, which we can, and we get back. We'll do some kind of a super drop. We'll make sure it gets spread around. We'll pick a couple of communities up there in the Verde Valley and go give them what for, because Cottonwood, Sedona, Clarksdale, Jerome, this has been, Cornville, we're going to spend some more time with. And you got, Camp Verde. There's a river that goes through from south of Flagstaff. It goes through like kind of a higher elevation and cuts through this rim and goes down, and that's Oak Creek Canyon. Oak Creek Canyon's beautiful slide rock. It's just like you were freaking in New England somewhere. And then it comes down and goes through this valley and then empties out as it comes down towards the valley and goes by what's called Camp Verde, where a lot of retired municipal employees and police and firemen and everything, they kind of go there, and they got water from the river and a community canal, and they do a lot of orchards of different things and so on. So it's Fertile Valley. There's a lot of people, and it's beautiful. And Sedona, the hippy dippy weather man lives there, and it's kind of, and everybody's happy. But they have communities that are progressive minded, and it was easy for them to take it over. And they go, we go do that union thing. We got 50 gazillion cops to write everybody tickets on the weekend that go up there. We make some money. And it's a, it's a square mile area as the actual city. But they want to annex this group and this people so that they can get forced onto the municipal water system of the septic and sewer. And if you don't do it, the EPA, federal, we're going to explain it to you how you're environmentally impacting. You can't have your, septic anymore, and you got to get on the sewer. We're going to rule you and to pay the pensions of God. So how much politics are you going to get involved in? Are you going to go to Lone Prairie, find a canyon somewhere? Because you're talking about a group of people deciding to come together to, have something. And I'm very interested in how you would do this. Certainly someone like you. So what's the plan? Who are the people? What are you going to do? You're going to stay outside the city limits? None shall pass. Are you going to go in and with the government? What are you going to do?
Well, right now we're just looking for the right land and the right, the right people to make a collaborative community with. But I've already started speaking publicly in Sedona. I haven't spoken in Cottonwood yet, but I mean, I've already had events where I've been a speaker, and we've had other, Liberty people speak. And so there is, I'm already kind of, getting started. I'm trying to balance what I'm doing here in Cottonwood with what I'm trying to do internationally, with what I'm trying to do in New Hampshire. For the past 2 months, all I've been doing is trying to keep up with the book sales and with vendors and fulfillment and things like that, because it's just like it's been tough scaling to the level of sales that we had from the level of sales that I had 3 months ago. And so I'm really just getting started. If there's anybody in Cottonwood in Arizona that would like to help, you can, reach out to me, government-scam.com or artoflibertyfoundation@protonmail.com. But I'm starting to get plugged in, to the local Liberty community here. And it really is, it's growing as well. freedom is hot. It's especially hot here. but you know, I see, you know, the Sedona community is ripe for voluntarism. They're all, you know, they're all conscious human beings. They understand, you know, non-aggression. They understand that, you know, you can't use violence on peaceful people. And so, they're just our kind of people. And so, I'm looking forward to meeting, you know, more and more and more of them.
You know, I could help. We want to help. When we get back in August, we go to Jackalope, and we may have a trip to Ireland. We're trying to plan for some friends getting married. But after that, you know, it's Arizona, Arizona, Arizona. I'm going to be a butthead Arizona love bus going everywhere. Help, you know, Etienne, Arizona. So, you know, you got an event or something you want to do, and we can even help with. Because I'm Arizona's it for me. You know, I want to stay married, and you know, and that's part of the condition. We shoot Donna, go on all this stuff and do all my thing. We come back Arizona, man. Get over it. That's what's going to happen because, you know, the 12 grandkids. So and 4 kids. So I'm like, I'm in. You know, what do you think? How could we help each other? We can just promote the living crap out of whatever you're doing. What do you think needs to be done?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think Jackalope's going to be 1,000 people. I think there's going to be 1,000 people. It was such a success last year. Everybody had such a good time. I think everybody's going to, you know, show back up this year, and they're going to bring friends. And I think the Jackalope could be the epicenter of it, where we take the movement and the network that we've been developing here, and we just get them to Jackalope and we plug them into the other freedom groups. And I think the Jackalope could be our major event. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, to helping to promote that. So
yeah, you got
to
be careful. I mean, this is how they get you. Yeah. You call it a major event. It's not an event. I'm just going camping, man. Whatever happens, happens. And you start making it more than that, and you promote it. That's when they show up with their battle rattle and, you know, the rocks across the road and none shall pass and you're not allowed, you know. And I don't know how they do it. If you keep it a non-event, you know, how do you segment off who the people are? We got, you know, Jackalope tattoos on your forehead or something. I mean, you know, how does this work? You know, I need, you know, you can see that we're going into the 10th year, and I love Alma. She does a great job. She really promotes and pimps the crap out of it to the point that, you know, I don't mind getting attention, but attention to what? If there's no organized effort, there's nothing to attack. You know, you make it too much of an event or a planned or structured or promoted thing, and I'm the one that always gets the contact from the man, because I know what they're doing, because they're calling me, because it has freedom of speech. She, one year, she put my phone number up, and I go, what the hell are you doing? I go, no, no, hell no. You get that off, you know? And so this is, I get the media contact, I get the Forest Service contact, I get the law enforcement contact. And I go, look, I'm just a journalist, man. I just go cover it, whatever, you know, peace. I'm going camping, you know, kiss my butt. What are you going to do about it? And they go, well, you had 70 likes on Facebook. That makes it an event. You need to pay the park police or something. And I'm going, and then they go, because the only structure there is, Jack, you know, pays some crypto for some porta potties. You know, you get like a dozen porta potties out there. So, they, you know, Jack did it. Well, who's that guy? You know, who we going to go get him? You know, who paid you? I don't know. Jack Alope. And I don't know Jack. And it was a crypto bite me, you know. So then they go, all right, well, who's the microphone? Who's in charge of that? Who did the Facebook page? I mean, the more you organize it, here it comes. This was an experiment. Etienne, I'm telling you, Alma and I did this. For me, it was an experiment to see how long you can go with nobody in charge. How long can you have before you come under attack? And if you keep calling it an event, if you keep pushing it and organizing it, if you keep inviting in the band and the stage goes here and how you have it organized, boom! That's when it goes. So I'm telling you, yes, I know it's going to keep getting more popular because it's not organized. And if you keep it that way, it will keep growing. The second you start getting the central hub command of who gets the schedule on the primary stage and the secondary of the family area of the vendors, I'm going, that's when it goes. I want to make sure I make that really clear so I get to say, Neon, I told you so later, okay? Now, are we clear? Do you understand my position on this?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw. I don't know if you remember. You know, when I was talking with James Corbett and on you know, how to present info to visual learners. But we were talking about that. You know, that once you get a certain amount of people in an area that don't believe in government, when the order followers come out, it's an entirely different dynamic.
Okay, we're going into break. We'll pick it right up when we come back from there. You know, how many people, you know, does it take to turn voluntarists into collectivists? We're going to find out. We'll be right back.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, there aren't any roads. Well, I bet you Etienne and the crowd and his voluntarist tribe of whatever will, I don't know, have a road. Or flying cars. I vote flying cars. All right. So where we left it off, we were talking off air, and, you know, and he's got, you know, something for me he wants to say. But, you know, where we left it off, and I want to make sure we get to, is, you know, what's the number of people that it takes to turn voluntarist into, terrorist? I just want to know where it gets that point to where the collective, you know, hey, you know, it's a voluntarist collective of we had a vote. You know, I'm just wondering, you know, what that number is. When does that happen? And how are we going to organize? Because that's been the experiment with Jackalope for me. Now I'm just going, all right. Where does it go? Because when it becomes a market to exploit, it gets exploited. Can it be served? We can't have competitors. And that's what happened with Pork Fest. They're going, it's Agora Alley, and we can only have so many people selling French fries. I mean, it started to get too organized, and they started to take their cut on the grounds, and, you know, different, they buy up different spots that were prime, and then they want to have a premium on them, and then they go, and I'm like, I'll never freaking mind. So we did this, and now it's like, ooh, it's going to be 1,000 people, and we're going to what? What are we going to do? I just go camping. I got more people to hang out with at the fire. What are you looking to do? What are you going to organize them? You got a list? Is there an email database? You know, how's this going to work, man?
Well, first of all, I want to flip it around on you. And I think the question is, how many voluntarists does it to turn collectivists into voluntarists? And what I mean by that is that, you know, as I discussed with, you know, James Corbett on, you know, how to present info to visual learners, if you get a certain number of people in an area that don't believe in government, that understand it's a scam, that understand how they've used these unethically manipulative techniques of the, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, the Common Prayer, they're sliding it to the population as a religion. They're putting people through the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts. They're doing the flag worship and everything. When the order followers show up and people treat them differently than they've been used to being treated. I don't know if you've ever seen the video of what happened when the tax collectors showed up at Pork Fest. Have you seen that?
Yeah. No, I was there when it happened. Yeah, Ian had the camera, everybody yelling them at him.
Yeah, everybody's yelling at him, like laughing at them. You know, to a certain degree, I thought, Ian handled it one way. I would have handled it with laughter. Like, you know, when the police come, it's, man, they made you shave your head, dude. You're in a costume. This is a scam. You're robbing your friends and neighbors. You don't have to rob your friends and neighbors. Like, you know, I'm going to set aside a certain number of books in case we do get – you know, if we do get the police showing up to, you know, to Jackalope, we'll give them copies of my book and we'll treat it like, we'll say, you know, with love, but we'll say, hey, man, they've, you know, run these unethically, you know, manipulative techniques on you. You don't have to be doing this. You're using violence on peaceful people. And when you have hundreds and hundreds of people surrounding a handful of cops and everybody's cool and the women are beautiful and like everybody is, you know, and you know, everybody's socks match and people are, you know, treating you with the respect and explaining that this is it, that's an entirely different, you know, dynamic than what we've had before.
Well,
and
I
so
tell
as
you,
as we begin to congregate it.
Well, how it happened was by the second, third year, it was clear that we were going to keep doing this. And a lot of retired municipal employees, police, firemen, military and central intelligence people, everything went up there to get away from the zombie apocalypse and the horde up that they knew was coming eventually now. Well, here comes a bunch of these Ron Paul voluntarist anarchists in their damn forest. And damn it, we came get up here away from y'all. You know, what's up? And so they wanted to explain it to us. You know, here comes a forest ranger. And then we found out what it was these guys were just, they didn't know who we were. So after the following year, they come out with their, you know, USS Missouri hats and whatever, you know, they, you know, retired veterans of something. And they're in their four-seat, four-door Razors traveling. I go, what's up? And I happen to be out at the entrance there, you know, waiting for Donna to come in. And I just told them, I go, yeah, it's just a bunch of, you know, kind of mostly, you know, Ron Paul-esque, you know, kind of figured that was less offensive than, you know, anything else. And, you know, they have, you know, Bob with his sons doing geocaching. And they're walking around. I go, yeah, go back. Yeah, you buy a burger. They're probably selling something back there. Going, well, you think we go? Yeah, go. So they went back there and they talked to people and they're going, okay, so these guys are cool. And then we stayed and made sure that the place was clean. You know, it's getting out. You know, then you start getting into, you know, they got to do auto repair or something like that, or they're living there for months. You know, things will go bad. You know, that's, you got to worry about that. But the, so we, keep it clean. And then this last year, we did a lot of interviews with June's Cafe up there that didn't wear masks and were supportive of them and everybody go eat there. Then we find out with the local miners and loggers and farmers and ranchers and business owners, this lockdown thing, they're not digging it. You know, they know who we are. Bob Anderson ran for Congress there twice in the late 90s, and they remember him, you know, and he goes up there for a lot of stuff. So they understand the libertarian message and they go, damn it, these libertarians are right. So as we did that and we just kind of, you know, then we find out that one of the ranches that are right there by Baca Meadow is one of the women that I was interviewing, you know, and it, so now they know who we are. Now they got, you know, it's time to, you know, we make nice. They'll come out. You give them your book and so on. Because what we found was the law enforcement and the county and the Forest Service was really a product of those people. They knew them. They were them. They retired up there. They went, they're worried. They just need to get to know. So the thing is that it's just like what you're saying. It's just for them to understand what we represent, but I need to know what that is. You know, when you're going, people are coming, oh yeah, we're gonna take over. Woohoo! You know, take over what? In what way? You know, where are you gonna, you know, live? What are your criteria? Because I went to the, you know, knowing better, but you know, I went to, I was invited by a vice mayor up there in Sholo to go to this League of Cities and Towns. And then that's when we went to Cottonwood. Bob and I went and met with the economic development director for Cottonwood. And man, they just explained it to us. We're going to rule. They're going to do rule for, yeah, come up here. We'll rule together kind of thing. I'm like, whoa, damn. You're definitely up against the man. So I just need to know, are you going to be the man? You're going to, you know, examples of the man outside of the jurisdiction of the man? You know, what are you looking, you know, to accomplish with this group of people you hope to bring to Arizona?
Well, I would separate it between, you know, us finding, you know, land and having, you know, living collectively in a community where people don't believe in the artificial culture. I don't want to have to worry about my kids going over to somebody's house and playing Call of Duty or something, you know, like that. I want people that understand the realities of the media system is putting garbage out. And you know, I want people, you know, I call it like modern Amish, you know, where we still have technology, but like people aren't, you know, glued to the television set and you don't have to worry about your kid going over and watching, you know, I like to call the television the filthy stranger, you know, or learning, you know, government garbage history or something like that. So that's one aspect of it. But on the, you know, how do you free people? So, you know, what I'm doing with the book is, how do you take somebody from 0 to 60? How do you explain to them that government is illegitimate? It's a scam. It's designed to rob and enslave you. It was never designed to protect life, liberty, and property. It's always been used to rob and enslave. These are ancient techniques that have been honed for the modern age. And, you know, once you get somebody to understand that government is illegitimate, and once you get people to understand that there's a man behind the curtain in the media, well, then it's a lot harder for them to get fooled because they understand how the media.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, then we get into that we're going to write our own HOA of Galt's Gulch hippie commune of boundaries and borders and, you know, who gets to share the back.
That's what you want.
I'm fine, but I need to see that document. It's three questions. What do I have to do? What am I prevented from doing? What's your conflict resolution? I always ask those three questions. Show me your plan. I need to see the plan.
I agree completely. And when you're working with voluntarists, like I mentioned, we've got a tribe of voluntarists, you know, here in Arizona, where I think there's like 70 plus of us. That's the exact philosophy they have. Those are the people, if you want to have an HOA, those are the people you want to have an HOA with, people that don't believe in aggression, people that are going to be asking the exact same questions.
Right.
So you can have those agreements. It's a lot easier to have agreements with voluntarists that don't believe in settling their disputes by calling in the organized crime government than it is to, you know, to try and, you know, partner with status. The first thing that something goes wrong, you know, they're calling the police on, you know, the neighbor because he's parking, you know, on the street too long.
Exactly. Here we go. All right, we're at the end of the show. We're not done. We're not done with Etienne de la Boutaille. I'm sure I say it wrong, but you know what? Or I get away with it if I can sing it. Okay, so you go to government-scam.com. You can get his book, and, you know, flying off the shelves. So you may have to wait a little while, but we're going to spread it.